You just post that.
No.
Yeah, so they got divorced.
Well, they're not divorced yet. They're still very much married. I don't even think they filed. Are we ready? Because I'm going to stop sorting these.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, dog. All right. I should have got chapstick. Do you have chapstick in your pocket?
No, I never have chapstick in my pocket. Why did you need chapstick in my pocket?
I'm going to get my water bottle.
Okay. Sorry.
Please hold.
All right, so talk shit about
Heather. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Valid fear.
Probably will happen.
And my chapstick's in here.
Oh, perfect. Double whammy.
Cool. All right, ready?
Freddy? Yep. Ready, Freddy.
Freddy Krueger.
Is that one on?
It's rolling.
Okay. And that thing is rolling?
Rolling.
Okay. Rolling. Just making sure.
Let's talk shit about Alex Kazan.
No what? Way. No, not
I'm
her.
I'm joking. Not
other
her.
People, maybe. Just kidding.
Not her. I've been like skipping intros, so I'm not going to intro.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, besides say
I
that.
I need no introduction.
She needs no introduction. She's just a random native to our town. Yeah. This is Grace Lochner, everybody. No, okay, I guess I'm the only person that I wanted to clap. Grace, how you doing, dude?
I'm so good.
Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so Grace is a CrossFit aficionado.
Yep.
Almost professional slash professional.
Yeah.
What dictates a professional CrossFitter, by the way?
I don't know. Like, part of me says, like, if you're going for it full time, like, if you're, like, training it full time and dedicating everything, I mean, maybe you could say full-time CrossFitter, but I feel like you've got to have some sort of like financial, you know, like I feel like you got to make a living.
Yeah. Making a living and doing it full-time.
Yeah.
Probably. That's what would dictate professional.
I think so. Like,
yeah. Because every other sport, that's like what it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's CrossFit's so hard though. Cause it's like, you don't have like, it's okay. Like, yeah, then I'm then technically I'm not a professional CrossFitter, but like at the same time, like I dedicate everything to it. So yeah. Then I guess I'm just like, I have a really intense hobby.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's the next step. But I feel like with other sports, there's, like, amateur leagues and stuff.
Right.
I don't really feel like there's that with CrossFit, but I don't know.
Yeah.
That's amateur leagues, are they considered professional?
Well, there's, like, semi-pro.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like what's the like minor leagues?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, minors and all that. But
I feel like that's kind of, like, what
yeah.
I might be in right
I
now.
I think that's
like
what
the
you're
minor
in.
Leagues of CrossFit, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll take that.
I think that's weird, though, because CrossFit's like the only sport that everybody wants to be professional.
Right.
Yet there's no like financial incentive backed by CrossFit.
Right.
Right.
Like everyone wants to be professional for no reason because there's like no benefits. You know what I mean? Like you get to be like, not that there's no benefits, but like in other sports, like, okay, once you make it to the MLB, like you're set for life, or like NFL, you're set for life.
Yeah.
CrossFit, it's like you make it to the games and then you just have to like hurt more and like for nothing.
And, but like bust your ass
and
to
like
get there again.
And maybe a company will send you a t-shirt. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
That'll happen.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe make it back again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is like the amount of time that it takes to dedicate to CrossFit to get to the point of hopefully making it to the games.
Right.
And not seeing any sort of financial reward at the end, possibly. Right. So weird because every other sport, at least like if you're in the minors for baseball, in the minor league or a farm league, they'll give you like a little $30,000-$40,000 salary. And then you just get to focus on that. And if you might get housing, you'll get food paid for, travel, stipends, everything like that. And then it's like, I would be a professional baseball player for $40,000 if I had nothing else to worry about.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not with kids, but yeah.
Yeah. I feel like CrossFit though, like you talk to any CrossFitter and like, no one's in it for the money, which like kind of just plays into like, I feel like CrossFitters are just like wired different. Like,
yeah,
there are very few people who would like do what it takes to be a CrossFitter not for the money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I don't think that everything has to be for the money, obviously, but I think there has to be, like, there's some dudes who are like 30 years old still chasing this and like maybe making 60 grand or something.
Right. Yeah.
Which I guess is like, I don't know, it's a fine amount of money.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really, 60 grand isn't that much money at all. And especially when you're literally like, when you take in consideration all the expenses of a CrossFit athlete, body work, unless their camp has a body worker or something mm-hmm. like that, when you take in food, supplements, if they're not sponsored by anybody, then the clothes, because you're going through so much, all this stuff, gym membership, maybe most probably don't pay a gym member, coach.
I feel like almost the biggest thing is like paying for a good coach, because like now, I mean, you could just follow like a program. Like I know like Mayhem is like not expensive, it's like 30 or 50 bucks a month, and it's like mm-hmm. some people don't need a coach, but like for me, I have a one-on-one coach, and that's like, it costs money. Everything else, I mean, if you can like make good content or like I don't know, make yourself a brand almost, and be able to like offer up different like posts or whatever for brands, you can kind of like get some of that stuff, but like it's not easy either.
No,
you
hell know? No. How did you get the majority of your followers?
I have loved like making content for mm-hmm. a while, and I've just been like good at making like reels and edits, and like
you are good at that, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. Gen Z, so
so she just gets it. How long did that one where I just filmed the clips for her, how long did it take you to edit that?
That one didn't take that long. That probably took, the hardest part is like finding a sound, because like I hate Instagram reel sounds. Like every time I hear an Instagram reel song, like I hate it.
You don't want to go viral?
That's the thing though, is like if you want to go viral, you have to use the annoying like songs and sounds and stuff, but it's hard to find one that like, I don't know, I like, when I make content, I like to make it my own, so like I don't want to just like see something that I'm scrolling on Instagram reels and then just like take the exact format, right, you know, use it. So like kind of using your own music and like sounds and stuff, that's the hardest part. But then once I get into editing of it, it's, I mean, it'll probably take, some take like an hour, some take like multiple hours, but kind of depends on, I don't know, what it's for and how much I really care about adding all the cool little effects and stuff. But I feel like that helps. And then I've just been on Instagram for a long time. Like I've started CrossFit when I was like 14, and I made that account to just kind of post and whatever, post like my workouts or whatever. And then, so you just kind of build it from there. So like,
do you just use Instagram transitions? Like, are you editing the whole thing in Instagram?
No, I use CapCut, which is still super basic.
Yeah.
But like, I have a lot of people message me and they're like, what do you use? Like, do you use Final Cut Pro? And I'm like, no, that's like $300. I'm not going to pay for that. I'll make CapCut work.
Yeah.
And so like, it's not the best, but it's easy. It's simple, you know?
I've been considering making the jump from what I use to Final Cut.
Yeah.
Because I use Premiere, which is it's a big processing software.
Yeah.
It's a big software. But because I have the iPad now and doing a lot of editing on there, so I'm thinking about moving to Final Cut.
I think you'd be surprised how many people are using CapCut. I hear sorts of people, like
a lot of our influencer Fousier,
she uses CapCut. I think Allie loves lifting. I think Roderick does too. Yeah,
everybody uses CapCut. And it's like, okay, there's a difference in, like, there's definite people who do it professionally, you can tell a difference because they have like cool whatever, mm-hmm. like
color grades,
all this stuff, whatever. But for an Instagram reel that I'm going to post, that's going to be 10 seconds that people are maybe going to watch 4 seconds of and be like, okay, cool, double tap, scroll, hopefully. Then like, they're not going to notice, you know, a difference between a $200 software and CapCut.
So yeah.
Like, it's fine.
Are your reels like a way that you've been able to connect with companies? Like, have companies reached out to you because of your reels?
Yeah, a couple have. And I think it's cool because it's something that I have to offer brands too, because something that's hard about being a CrossFitter too, especially like in the minor leagues or whatever, is sometimes you feel like you don't have much to offer. Like, yes, I would love to rep your grips in competition, but if I'm not competing for the next 4 months, why would you send me a pair of grips? So it's like, if I can, I found my way to like, okay, I can make these cool reels, or like a cool way to showcase this thing, this product, without just like taking a picture of it and being like, thanks, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's like a way that companies appreciate and they see that you put an effort to like promote their brand, which is cool, rather than just kind of doing the basic like, thanks for sending me these, or like, these are great, you know. It shows you actually like using them and kind of like personalizes it a little bit.
You're influencing, right? You're showing it. But no, honestly, one of the things that like I think, I mean, it's not annoying to me because I could give a shit, but it's like one of the things that I do notice is like the upper echelon of athletes, a lot of them are just doing really simple, like on their story, a picture of them like holding grips instead of wearing grips.
Right.
Or something. I'm like, dude, why do brands even mess with you? Like, no, I bet your conversion from that's not even good.
As someone, okay, like obviously they've backed it. They've backed it by their, they'll get sent whatever they want because they've backed it by their performance. You know, like they're getting sent the stuff because their performance, not their content necessarily. But like there are some top level CrossFitters who just post like a picture of them like so obviously not working out, like it was a setup photo shoot, and then like I love Rain Body Fuel, and I'm like, and it's like them like with full face of makeup, hair down, just like a picture drinking a Rain, and it's like so easy, but it's also not believable at all,
right?
And so that's like I don't like it because I'm like, I think you took one sip and then threw this in the trash.
I also have a hard time believing that all these CrossFit
that they're drinking Rain.
Maybe some of the guys.
Yeah.
I can see guys, but like
these chicks are not out there drinking Rain fuel.
I wouldn't even
try.
Okay,
half of those chicks are probably drinking Celsius, like the one that they think burns your fat off.
I do love a good Rain though, but like not every day. And they're getting sent like pallets, like
dude,
pallets of like multiple boxes.
Yes.
And like I'll have like, okay, so my ritual,
if I have pallets of Rain, they have pallets.
Drink
of Rain
it too.
Yeah.
But like my ritual when I'm in Tennessee is we do like an open gym partner workout every Saturday at 7 a.m and so I pull up, I'm like so dead, so tired, it's pitch black outside. I pull up, I usually roll in there like 7:01, but I pull up to the gas station 6:55, gas station across the street, I get a Rain. And then I walk in. That's like, but that's like one time a week, whatever. There are like some people who are posting like post my favorite post workout. I'm like, why are you drinking this post workout? Just a quick 300.
Dude, that that stuff. That stuff. That's oh my gosh. Dude, that drives me nuts too. But what actually drives me nuts are like the CrossFitters who are all about like small or like low ingredient profile foods, and like, well, I only eat organic and blah blah, and like everything is like health related, and then they pop up with a Rain ad, and I'm like, the amount of sucralose in there could kill a pack of wolves.
Okay, I agree, but like I'm also guilty of this, and I'm like, I choose my battles. Like I'm like very, I try to like stick to whole foods, like single ingredient foods, like ground beef, eggs, fruit, sourdough, whatever, honey, like that kind of, I'm like that person. But I still will drink an energy drink like every day.
Here, every day?
But if I'm about to train twice a day, come on.
I feel like all 21-year-olds drink an energy drink
every
day. I'm
just so excited to drink it. Like you're driving to the gym, you just crack open a nice cold energy drink. Like,
Yeah, I mean, you know who's like, who I think is the most authentic with that stuff is Sam Dancing. Did you guys see the new drink that he's launching?
Isn't it like a weed drink or something?
Yes.
And yeah, he's like, all these people get drunk and like they're fine and I just want to smoke a joint. And everyone's all up in arms.
In the description, it's like, let's not pretend that people aren't using marijuana instead of alcohol now because of the effects or whatever. And I'm like, yes, thank God. But then the other portion of me is like, because dude, I think what's authentic about that is like he's showing that he still gets a little bit lit off of something, and the other CrossFitters just want you to believe that they're just like clean cut Christian, never touched a cigarette in their life type people or whatever. You know, if I were to become a CrossFit Games athlete, I'd be like, yeah, this body was built off of joints when I was a kid, booze, and an occasional cig.
Well, okay, I think kind of like that's on the same topic, but I think that's what's been really hard too about kind of coming up in the space, like starting when I was 14, and that was when like there was all the CrossFit documentaries and all the whatever. And you have all these athletes being like, all I do every day is train. I do nothing else. I only eat clean every day. Like every single day is focused to all CrossFit. I'm doing Metcon after Metcon after Metcon. So you like, you're trying to, you're like, oh, well, they're the best and they're doing that. That's what they're saying they're doing. So that's what I need to be doing.
Yeah.
And you come up in this space, and like for me, and I know I've talked to other girls who have come up in the same time period as me, like come through the teenage division and whatever. And they're like, oh my gosh, it's so hard because these athletes are literally lying. Like they're like, not oh, to yeah. be like whatever, but like they're on their Instagram and they're like, no days off, full grind, skip your sister's wedding to train. Like, it's like, oh my God, like it's so annoying. And then they're like, yeah, never, I never touch a drop of alcohol. Not saying that you should, but like a lot of what these like top level athletes are posting just like isn't real.
Yeah.
And it's also just like generalized, like they're like, oh, no days off and whatever. And it's like, okay, that's how you run yourself into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's what I've seen. And I've seen like a ton of other people my age have to kind of like learn through that. And like my coaches have had to kind of rewire my brain of like, no, that's actually not how you do it. And that's how you burn out. And that's how you break your body down. And they're not just eating like veggies and grilled chicken all day, every day, you know,
yeah.
like it's yeah. just like that's so I appreciate when people like go on social media and are like very authentic of like I think Amanda Barnhart does it really well, too. Like she'll like post, she's like, yeah, I walked into the gym today and I actually felt like crap and my shoulder hurt, so I like tried to do what I could, and then when I realized it wasn't happening, I left. And you're just like, okay, that's so real. Like yeah. that's so real.
Yeah,
and
for
it's
sure.
nice to see, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's like I think this oftentimes with social media in general, there's a lot of these really weird like alpha dudes and alpha chicks that are on, you know, Instagram. You see the reels all the time and they're just like constantly like hardcore life, like I the same thing, no days off, what? And it's like, so it's so corny because yeah. you can tell, you can like see through their teeth that it's yeah. they're not telling the truth. With CrossFitters, it's like, what, you're definitely not training every day, and if you are, you're gonna get dumb. hurt, and yeah, and you're dumb, and what's the point of like looking so badass, you know, that you right. didn't, that you didn't, or that you, that you train every day, you only eat this, you only eat that, when like especially kids could be watching you, and mm-hmm. then you're influencing them in the completely wrong direction.
Yeah,
I've seen it time and time again with bodybuilding specifically yeah. that like people fall into eating disorders or whatever because they're like, so and so only does this, and they don't, you know, they never take
yeah.
off. So it's tough. But Grace, okay, if you don't get paid from the sport
hypothetically
what is even the point of chasing this dream?
That's like such a loaded question. I was literally talking about this with my dad the other day. Like I feel like once you're in it, you're just in it. And for me, it's been, I mean, it's changed over the years. Like at first I was like games are bust. Like I will not be happy, whatever. And obviously that's still the goal. And I still want to like compete at the games and, you know, like make that my career and stuff. But the like the why behind doing it, like the process of it and the journey of like seeing if you can is really fun. And I think it's something that like not a lot of people do, like a lot, like, and that's fine. Like, I don't think that everyone needs to, but at the same time, it's a really cool opportunity to like go into something that like you don't know if it's going to work out, but you have to give everything to try. And that's really cool. And then along the way, it's like you meet cool people, you get cool opportunities.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's not the highest paying job in the world, but I would much rather get to like live the lifestyle that I do and do what I do with it and push the limits of it and just see if it's possible than for me, like sit in a desk all day and make $100,000 a year, you know?
Yeah.
I also feel like for somebody your age, like why not, you know?
Right.
Like yeah. it's not like she's married or has kids or anything, like why yeah. not?
And that's, yeah. I mean, I was talking with my dad yesterday, and I'm really lucky because my parents are like super supportive of that. And they say the same thing. They're like, it's fun to watch you go after it. And right now is the time to do it. Mm-hmm. Like right now you're 20. I just turned 21 and I don't feel a need to like exactly have figured out what I'm doing. And like, I'm lucky that they're supportive of that. Cause like, I know some people like wouldn't be, but yeah, it's kind of like, why not right now? I have the opportunity cause I started young enough that I have a good base, and now it's just see where we can take it for now. And then if I get to 30, then it's like, okay, I'm still only 30 and I
yeah
could have like a whole career.
When did you start CrossFit again?
When I was 14.
14? So. Okay.
I also feel like your parents are probably supportive because this is a lot better than what most 21-year-olds are doing.
Yeah. So, especially what are most 21-year-olds?
Well, you and I did when we were 21.
Yeah, I was in jail for like the majority of the year. I'm just kidding. Say.
But it was, yeah, I was, so I like just turned 21 like a couple weeks ago. And my mom was like, you know how nice it is to like literally not be stressed about.
Oh my God. 21. When Izzy's 21, I hope she's CrossFitting like you and not drinking
yeah.
like
yeah,
I did.
Yeah, yeah. Your
That's
mom's not
really what I hope.
About you at all. Yeah. Hell yeah.
That's
yeah.
so nice.
Okay. So like, I don't think this is going to happen to you at all. And it'd be, so I'm just, you know, hypotheticals here. What happens if like 6 more years goes by, you're like 27 years old, and I mean, it was just open the question up to like just CrossFitters in general. Mm-hmm. What happens like if you're 20, like 6 years goes by, 27, whatever, however old all you CrossFitters are, you two, mm-hmm. and you still don't make it. Mm-hmm. When do you know? One of my biggest questions is like, when do you know to hang up the CrossFit shoes?
Yeah.
Because I feel like so many people get lost in like just chasing this ever-ending goal.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it kind of it really depends on the person, because I know some people like that. Like they've been doing the sport for over 10 years and they've been to semis or regionals or whatever 10 times and they've never cracked the games. And like for some people, they'd look at that and be like, give it up. Like you're not going to get there. But it kind of like it depends on your goals. Like, okay, is your goal to be a top 10 games athlete, or is your goal to like – I know some people have never made it to the games and they have millions of followers on Instagram and that's their main source of income. So as mm-hmm. long as they're still training, like, why would you not, you know?
Right.
I feel like once you're in CrossFit, like, are you really ever going to like hang it up? Like,
you can stop training, but I also think say you're a 27-year-old female, you're single and you're making money off Instagram, why not? But say I'm like, okay, I'm married and I want to have a family and I don't really feel fulfilled anymore. Cause it kind of comes down to like, okay, I know some people who are like they've been in the pursuit of it so long, or they were in the pursuit of it for so long and just not seeing results and it burnt them out. Whereas mm-hmm. like some people, they just love the pursuit of it. And it's like, whether I make it or not, I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're just like, okay, I'm sick of this and I'm not making it where I want to, then yeah. Or like if you have goals to like start a family or have another opportunity come up, it really depends on the person, I think.
Well, and I don't mean like hang up the CrossFit shoes, like you're not going to do the modality anymore. Right. I mean like hang up the competitive CrossFit shoes. Like, when do you stop chasing the games? You know, like I just feel like a lot of people will be like, well, it'll happen next year. It'll happen this next year. Like I just had an off time and it's like, I get it. But a lot of people, I think, I think for me at least, and you guys can tell me your opinion, I think a lot of people in the CrossFit space or just competitive space, like strength sport, mm-hmm. are like seeking validation instead of like it's a genuine pursuit for a passion. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like a lot of people in the bikini space, it's more so validation from like outside sources, rather than being in love with like who they are and wanting to do it for the passion of the sport.
Yeah.
And CrossFit, I can see that too. Like a lot of people, even dudes, like they're searching for the attention. Like, oh, he's the CrossFitter. He's the dude mm-hmm. part. That was part of it. Right. Like even just competing like locally, it's like, oh, you did a comp. Yeah, I did a comp. It's like, it is or a contest. It is what it is. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just wonder, cause this sport is so weird, because it could be that 1 year just nothing was in your favor whatsoever mm-hmm. and you do terrible, and then the next year everything is in your wheelhouse yeah. and you somehow make it
mm-hmm.
you know. So to me, I just wonder where that line is that you draw to quit,
yeah,
or not quit, but you guys get what I'm saying.
I feel like it might just be like a when you know situation, like yeah. you're kind of just like I'm over it, you yeah know?
You don't, so you wouldn't feel like at 27 or 28, I mean obviously it's hard to know, but you don't think that you would feel like, man, I just let my life go by? Or you would think like the pursuit it for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It is for me. And I've learned that along the way mm-hmm. because I mean, and I've seen it, and I've grown to be very grateful for it, because at first, and I mean, still sometimes I get caught in the oh my gosh, I'm not progressing as fast. Like, why are girls my age literally podiuming at the individual games, or like making the individual games, making that jump so easy? I'm still stuck here trying to make it to semis, you know? And then it's like, okay, well, that's their thing. And I've just gotten to focus a little more on the journey and I'm appreciative of it, but
yeah, that's gotta be important, right? Being actually in love with the journey of it, mm-hmm. rather and, than just and the I mean, end result.
It takes like, I've had to find, it helps when I've found my people to do it with too. Like mm-hmm. when I moved to Knoxville and then like a bunch of string of circumstances led me to the gym that I'm at now. Mm. And I have like such good friends there and they make training fun. Like I go into the gym every day and I'm like excited because I'm like, oh, at 2 o'clock, my friends are coming into the gym and like they don't even train with me. They're just there. Yeah. And it's like fun. Mm-hmm. Whereas like if I was going into like just like a training facility by myself every day,
yeah,
and that would suck. Like someday, I mean, some days it's fine, you know, like you get it done.
Yep.
But like if it's like a second session on a Wednesday and you're just like grinding and you're like, oh my gosh, I kind of like don't want to be here.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh no, my friends are going to be here and we can hang out and debrief and tan after. Like, I don't know. We sit outside after the second session, just lay in the sun and like, I don't know. You know, it's like, yeah. It's fun. You find the people that like make it fun.
I have this thing where I think CrossFitters are really like the nerds from high school that didn't have a lot of friends and they found something and they finally found something that they can relate to like a massive group of people with. Yeah. So now they're like the cool kids, right? And they like they find their people, and that's what I think the whole community thing is.
Yeah.
Is that people have found their people finally. Mm-hmm. So that's why the community is so tight knit.
Yeah. And it's interesting because sometimes especially when you're like not a part of a camp or like you train alone, it's like, dang, I feel like really out of place. Like I feel mm-hmm. really lonely, whatever. And then you go to a competition, like when I get to go to a competition and be around girls who are all doing the same thing as me, I'm like, oh, wait, this is really cool. And mm-hmm. like I really enjoy being around these people. And it's cool that we like all are kind of doing the same thing, and you'll be like, oh my gosh, you know, when it's like the second session on a Wednesday and they're just like, oh yeah, I totally get what you're saying. Whereas like if I were to say that to like one of my friends who doesn't do CrossFit, they're like, no,
yeah, exactly,
like, why don't I have no idea what you're talking about,
you know. Yeah. So yeah,
yeah, cool. So speaking of the pursuit,
yes,
let's talk about semifinals.
Or lack of.
Yeah. Let's talk about quarterfinals. How about that?
Yeah.
Give me a second. Let me restart this. All right. Let's talk about your experience with this past quarterfinals and lack of making semifinals. Yes. Take me through the entire thing.
Okay. So
a short synopsis.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So it actually, like, looking back on it, once it was over and I was able to like decompress, I was like, wow, that was actually a roller coaster of, you know, just like a season. Starting back, I did Wadapalooza in January and we did a trail run on an advanced mountain biking trail, which sounded really fun in theory. I loved trail runs. I did. Now I'm kind of nervous, but
yeah,
I loved trail runs and I was super excited for that event. And I ended up tearing a ligament in my ankle. Is like the ATFL ligament. Luckily didn't like break any bones or anything, but was like very close to needing surgery. Didn't, thank God, but it was still just like a long process of like literally couldn't squat for like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And could do like banded good mornings or like good mornings or RDLs were even hard because your feet are like, I had a boot on, so like it's off balance, whatever. Basically my lower body took a hit, which it couldn't afford in the first place as someone who like struggles to gain strength.
Has struggled
in the past. We're working on it and it's getting better, but in the past I struggled to gain strength. So like I probably lost like 10 or 15 pounds just because I was just doing like so much bodybuilding, like strict gymnastics, zone 2 on the biker, like that kind of stuff, which is not necessarily how I would love to prep for a season. I didn't even know if I'd be competing this season. So all that to say, like going into quarterfinals, I just felt very grateful to be able to do them because mm-hmm. I didn't think I would be able to. But I also don't feel like I was where I one wanted or needed to be, just because I had 2 or 3 months of like not only like trying to keep my strength. Like, I was trying to get my strength back to where it was, mm-hmm. which was already not enough. So I couldn't even like progress it. But anyway, so then quarterfinals comes along and they're actually like pretty good workouts for me, honestly. Even the strength event was like a relatively good format because it was more of just like battery work with a barbell and not just build to a one rep max. But yeah,
What did you just call it? Battery work?
Battery work.
What is that?
Like if I had to move like battery work would be like moving a moderate to heavy weight like multiple times and being able to like sustain that.
Okay.
Which is typically what I'm better at than like I could probably like at this past competition I just did like I had to hit my 90% clean and jerk 6 times at the end of a workout. And like I did it almost no problem. But if you ask me to add 5 pounds to my one arm max, like it's not happening. But
makes sense. Yeah. Some people just have capacity like that.
Yeah. But anyways, so then clean and jerk or quarterfinals goes by and it was a long week. Mm-hmm. I would say weekend, but it was literally a week. It was like 6 days this year.
Yeah.
We
were watching the leaderboard the whole time. Well, rather, I should say she was. Mm-hmm. And then she would like let me know.
Yeah.
And I would text you every so often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
like when you accidentally entered your score wrong, I knew.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no, Chris.
That too.
Dude, by the way, Tristan hit me up one day and he goes, did you see Hiller's post on Grace? And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, he like flamed her or whatever. Yeah. I was like, are you sure? And it turned out to be a different Grace.
Well, it was Gracie Walton yeah. But he called her Grace. And I like commented on it because she did the same
thing. I saw your comment on it.
Yeah, she did the same exact thing I did. And so then I commented on it and I was like, because he called her like a dumb idiot or something. And I was like, I didn't even think he was talking about me. I figured it was about her, but I commented on it and I was like, I did the same thing. Like, yes, I realize I'm also a dumb idiot. Like, it's my own fault.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying. And then basically, long story short, I asked him, I was like, hey, so is this about me? And he's like, well, not originally, but if you did the same thing, basically you fit. And I was okay, I deserved it though. But
it's funny.
My God, my gym owner, I was at like my ministry group. And so when the leaderboard like came out, it was like my FCA group. And so I didn't look at it. It's like 9 p.m. I like didn't want to be around everyone when I looked at it either way. And then I get in my car and I like look at it and I was like, I knew my score would be low, but I didn't know it'd be like that. I thought I like bombed it. I was like, there's no way I'm that weak. And then I realized what I did and I like called my gym owner. I'm like crying. I'm like, you need to do something. I don't know what to do. Like whatever. And so it ended up getting figured out, but it still didn't matter. But anyways, long story short, quarterfinals, it was a long 6 days and it ended up not going how I wanted to. I mean, last year they took top 60 to semifinals. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, I just need to get top 60. That's the goal for this next year. And then a couple months before quarterfinals, they're like, psych, it's top 40.
Yeah.
And obviously it's okay, you just have to be good enough. But at the same time, as someone who was already kind of like shooting for that bubble, that's like really hard to also go with. So I ended up in 58th in the East, which would have been good for last year, but not this year, which is like kind of bittersweet knowing I technically did what I needed to based off of last year. You know, like when I set that goal last year, I was like, okay, top 60, whatever. But also like the East is a really hard region. And so I can't not be proud of that too. I know. And like looking at the scores, like I know what I need to do and it's just keep getting stronger. Cause my other scores were great. Like that burpee box jump over wall ball one was great.
Yeah. You crushed that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And the like rowing one was great with the step ups and even the gymnastic one, I was super proud of, like the ring muscle. It ended with 20 ring muscle ups and old me would have probably got time capped and cried. And like new me, like I did it. And then I was like, I can get faster. And I did it again. And I think I got literally 1 second faster, which was annoying, but whatever.
That's faster.
It is faster. But I was like, oh, whatever. But yeah. Anyway.
I redid it and got one more rope climb. So.
Oh, there you go. That's awesome. But yeah, so it was like, I saw definite improvements, but it's hard when you see improvements and it's just still not enough, you know?
Yeah, what's interesting though is that you got that far and you had to deal with an injury prior.
Yeah.
So imagine that you had that entire time to actually get the fitness up, which does, I think that's a good sign, right?
Yeah.
What is it like though, being that close to like finally realizing part of your goal, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like, never mind.
Yeah, it like sucks. Like I usually when I compete, I take like a day or two off, and then I'm like, I'm excited, like I'm ready, like I want to get back into training. I get fired up from competing. And after quarterfinals this year, I was just so not like I mean, my coach wanted me to take a week off slash like do whatever you want type of thing. So I took Monday, Tuesday, and I was just like so sad. Like I was just like down, you know, like you just didn't hit your goal. You can take some time to like be upset about it. And then I tried to go in and like do a workout on Wednesday, and my body like shut down. It was just not ready to go back. And it took like probably 2 weeks for me to be like, okay, I'm like actually excited to train again. Mm. And to feel like my nervous system was actually recovered, because it was quarterfinals was like 6 days this year. And that's a long time to just be like on in like competition mindset mode, whatever. But with that too, like it showed me like how like parts of my performance are there, like they're where they need to be. And then kind of going along with like, yes, I like did that with an injury and, you know, I couldn't progress like I wanted. But at the same time, if I were to go to semis, if I like didn't have that injury and then I went to semis, I think I would have taken like last just based on the workouts. Like that snatch ladder would have crushed me. And that injury allowed me to like really work on my gymnastics and like my legless rope climbs and my pulling. But even like some of that kind of stuff at semi, it just would have, like, I don't think I would have been ready based on the workouts this year. And now from what we learned from quarterfinals and like how I perform, my training looks so different.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think like if I would have just like squeaked into semis, like I don't think I would be like doing exactly what I need to like get as much better as I need to. Does that make sense? Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. The training just has to switch up. Mm-hmm. Like you saw holes in the game and now you change it.
Yeah. Which is hard too. Like it's hard when parts of your performance are like there. Like some workouts are like, okay, that's literally like such a good score. And then it just like doesn't matter because it's not enough. And then it's hard to like, that's the stuff you like doing. And that's the stuff that's like fun to, like it's fun to just beat your, like for me, it's like fun to like beat my head into the ground and do like 30 minute workouts and like just like 40 minute EMOMs and just like crushing yourself. But that's like what I've found I don't need to do at all, which is really hard, but that's what we need to do, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That's like yesterday we were both kind of like, geez, Grace is already back to the grind.
Like she's already doing two days today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, what?
She's a lot younger than us, though.
True. No, not true.
A lot younger. It is true. A lot younger than you, maybe. But not me. I'm still a young man. Yeah. So I guess when making that transition, though, so like you get close to making it and then you have to transition to training. Solid.
Right.
Yeah. You have to transition to like training things that you or a training style that maybe you're not as familiar with. Is there like any sort of uncomfortability there, like with the unknown? Like,
yes,
I know that I'm good at this stuff. What if I'm not good at this stuff anymore by the end of this training or whatever?
Oh, yeah. And then like literally if you asked my coach, he'd be like, oh my God, yeah, she doesn't shut up about it. Like, I wish she would just like just shut up and like just do it. But it's so uncomfortable because I think especially because in CrossFit, almost like people think like a sign of working hard is like being dead at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I'm like really good at that. Like if you ask me to black out during a workout with like burpees or whatever, like no problem.
Four
like,
shots of tequila.
Any day. Yeah. Any day. Like I'll go for it. But that's not what I need. And so like that's really uncomfortable to feel like the type of hard work is different. And that's really uncomfortable, especially when you are kind of taking a chance. Like something my coach has said, he's like, we're trying. There's no guarantee that this is going to work. But if you want to get to where you need to go, you need to try.
Yeah.
Like, so for me, I think another thing that's like also played into that kind of like uncomfortability is like I've never actually kind of like laid out my season in a way of like, I feel like I've maintained the same level of fitness throughout the entire year, and I've never let myself get quote unquote unfit. Like, I've just always needed to feel my fittest. And if I'm not getting fitter, I'm getting worse. Mm. And so, like, for me, it's like, okay, I'm just always fit. And then near competition, I need to get fitter. And then I come back, like, after a competition, and I'm like, okay, time to get fitter. And it's just always about getting fitter. And at this point, like, I know I'm fit, but that's not my issue. And so for me, it's now I don't feel fit right now. And my coach is like, that's fine. Like, you don't have to feel fit right now because it's literally July.
Yeah.
And your season needs to peak in April.
Dude, CrossFit, I'm going to have this talk with, like, probably somebody who's into programming with CrossFit or whatever, mm-hmm. but CrossFit seems to be the only sport where all strength and conditioning and physiology principles go completely out the window.
Yeah.
For, like, coaches and for athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So many, like, no one does any sort of, like, progressions for the most part. Like, our coach does, and, like, our camp mm-hmm. does, and it seems like yours does too. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, people, yeah, they're just like, I just need to die from the workout, and mm-hmm. I need to conjugate every single thing that I'm doing, which means just, like, switching up the movement from week to week to week, and everything has to be fresh and new, and I need to feel the fittest that I've ever felt every single day. And it's like, in a normal strength and conditioning cycle, or a strength cycle, right? In a normal strength cycle, that's just not how it is. Like, you just don't do that. And if you want to get better at sport, period, you find the hole, you improve on the hole. If you're naturally good with conditioning, you're going to hold at least 70% of that. If you're just doing, like, what's it called? If you're just doing maintenance level stuff, mm-hmm. even if you didn't hit Metcons all the time, you're probably still going to hold that, you know, and then you bring it back in closer to the season because you've made a strength adaptation. You bring in the conditioning, mm-hmm. you condition, you're back, if not probably better. If you're constantly towing this line of, I need to be fit all the time, there's actually going to be a decline of fitness over the grand scheme. Like, you're going to see eventually you're not going to get any stronger. Mm-hmm. And also your fitness will probably start deteriorating.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's almost more of, like, a mental thing than physical, because I just did, like, a off season comp last week. And, like, going into it, I was so scared. And again, mm-hmm. I was, like, texting my coach. I, like, did intervals of one of the workouts beforehand, and they went so, I died, like, they went so bad, and I, like, texted him, I'm like, I'm not fit, like, I suck at CrossFit, I'm gonna die, I'm whatever. And I don't even think he answered. He was probably like, I think you need to reread this and, like, think for yourself. But I was like I'm just so, like, I'm not ready to compete like this, whatever. And then you go out on the floor, and I will say, like, some things it does feel harder when you're not, like, dying three times a day every day. Mm-hmm. Like, it's harder, but it's still doable. Yeah. And so if it just takes a little more effort to do burpee box jump overs fast, but I can clean and jerk, if I can PR my snatch and, like, do Isabel a minute faster, mm-hmm. then, like, that's what you need. And that's what I'm really thankful for my coach, because I've never had that in the past. Like, if I was like, I don't feel fit, I feel like I need to be doing more. Like, in the past, it was just like, okay, here. And mm-hmm. then I would just kind of, like, get what I want and just, like, be able to kill myself. And my coach now is like, basically, he, like, slaps some sense into me. And he's like, you're being irrational. And also, if you want to get where you need to go, you might lose fitness. But, like, that's fine. Because for you, losing fitness is probably going to get you more strength. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because, like, my boyfriend comes from a traditional strength and conditioning background. Mm-hmm. And so he's a strength and conditioning coach. And so he didn't come from, like, CrossFit programming per se. And so hearing his takes on, you know, like, what I need to be doing in my programming, he's like, no, that's actually really smart. Like, I don't know why you would maintain your conditioning year round. And just, like, kind of how you said, like, CrossFit's the only sport that people kind of think the rules don't apply to them, I think. And they think they're just, like, tougher than, like, physiology, and you're like, that's just, like, not how it is. I mean, that was me too, and still kind of is sometimes until I get some sense slapped back into me. But, well, it's a process,
you know? I mean, the whole thing with CrossFit programming that's interesting to me is, like I said, like, nobody follows actual principles of, like, what we know works, like, what the actual data says works.
Yeah.
And it's like, a lot of this stuff can be attributed to neurological adaptations, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just, like, the way that your nervous system adapts to stuff. So, like, we just had this talk on Saturday with Megan, And she said something about like, do you, what was it about like training time? Like, do you think that you can make the games only training an hour and a half a day? Oh, and I was like, yeah, yeah, I 100%, I think that somebody can make the games training an hour a day. Actually, I don't think that they need, but the point when you see all these, I think that what a big misconception that CrossFitters have, these other, these CrossFit athletes, the professionals are training 6 hours a day, right? Mm-hmm. Rightfully so, not to get better.
Right.
It's, you're not going to get better from training 6 hours a day. It's impossible. Your body, unless you're on all the juice, you just can't do it. You can't recover. Mm-hmm. You're not going to move the same. There's a high likelihood of injury. You have ligament and tendon like things that are going on or whatever. The point of training that much is to make the adaptation to volume. So when you get to the competition, you're not blown out sore from that type of training day, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think too, like that's something too that people have to learn, and this was me included, like people then train 6 hours a day year round because they see that from the top level athletes, and it's like, why are you doing quote unquote games training when you're not going to the games? Like, you don't need to be doing that right now. If you got stuck at quarterfinals, we had 6 days to do four workouts. Like, you, that's not, you're not gonna improve there by just killing yourself with volume every day. To volume has a time and place for sure, and I think a lot of it in CrossFit too is like there's just so much to touch, and there's so much that you have to get better at, and so like even if you're not spending 4 hours doing six workouts, it's like, okay, like strength work takes a long time because you need rest between sets, and then you need your skill work, and then you need whatever. So it's like that part I understand of like it takes time in the gym because there's just so much to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like you have to know how you need to be training for you, not how like these other people are training for where they are in their season too, which
I think like when you're doing that part of things, like when you're talking about doing your skill work and your strength work, that's like in that time of the season, that's when that replaces Metcons, you know?
Yeah.
So then it's everybody's like, I have to do a Metcon too. But like I went months before the season without doing Metcons.
Yeah.
Because I needed like gymnastics skill work. I'm not allowed to lift because that is something. Strong. Yeah, that's I'm the opposite of you. I'm the strength and then need the conditioning and gymnastics part. But
she's like, I'm so much stronger than you.
No, she actually probably is.
You're
strong. I also just maintain strength nicely. So like I PR'd without doing any kind of cycles and stuff like this.
And
year.
That's why you just like it's so, especially in a sport with CrossFit, like it's you have to look at what you need because, I mean, my coach has other athletes. He has these two girls that he works with too, and me and them could not be more opposite at all. Like, the one is, like, 5 feet tall. Her arms are probably the length of, like, my shoulder to my forearm. She can do, like, 60 unbroken strict handstand pushups. Like,
she's good at
snatches, 200, all this stuff. She's amazing. And the other one is, like, super good at gymnastics. I think she comes from a gymnastics background. She's super strong. Like, again, like, snatches 200, whatever. And so, right now, their training is, like, the opposite of mine. And they're doing, like, 6 miles of running and rowing and burpees and whatever. And I'm, like, well, why do they get to do that? But if I were to do their training, I would get worse. And so, like, in CrossFit, you need to, like, get off Instagram, stop looking at what other people are doing, and just, like, do what you need to do or else you're just, like, not going to get better. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like, I'm still learning that, but I feel like that's one of the biggest things that I've learned in the past, like, year is it doesn't matter if other people are doing what you want to be doing, because I mean, if you want to do that, that's fine, but like then don't expect to improve in the areas that you need to.
One of my friends was like, just for the last note on this, but one of my friends was like, I suck at Metcons, like I'm not fit or whatever. He's like, I need to do more zone 2 cardio. I'm like, no, you need to get, if Metcons is what you want to get good at, you have to do Metcons, you know?
And like, I will say, like, part of that too, I think, because when I was kind of training like an idiot and just doing like Metcon after Metcon, yes, like it didn't help me get strong, but it did help me get fit in the sense of like you just learn how to put your head down and
grind out and a Metcon.
Grind out a Metcon. Yeah. Like when it was when it was 5 p.m. and like I had already done however many Metcons that day or whatever, and I had another one that I just was like dead. And it's like you just learn how to put your head down and do it. And I do think that's a skill, but you don't need that at all times. Like when it's deep in your off season, quote unquote off season, whatever. If you're far out from the season, like you don't need to be forcing yourself to grind, like black out every day. For sure. You know, maybe, I don't know. So actually, I don't think really anyone does at like that point of the season. But
I think like you said, that's a skill. Like you have to learn how to shut it off and just go for it with a Metcon for sure.
Yeah.
I think though that zone two is the most blown out of proportion thing in the sport of CrossFit. Cause like there's people don't follow actual like real periodization in CrossFit. And then they're like, everyone's like on the zone two train because of Matt Frazier, not realizing that like, yeah, zone two, it adds to your aerobic base.
Yeah.
But in terms of like actually being able to grind out a Metcon,
yeah,
it's not going to do anything. Maybe it gives you more lung capacity or whatever. But what I think, honestly, is that people should learn how to do Metcons slower and unbroken and build up their capacity that way, because it gives you the skill of like, I'm not going to put this dumbbell down. I'm not going to put the barbell down. You know what I mean? It's and then you can build the intensity.
Yeah. It's more of like a mental.
Yeah.
Thing too, because there's certain times in workouts, I mean there's certain point, like I feel like when I came off of quarterfinals and then I was going into kind of more of my quote-unquote off season, like if I had a workout, that was one of the things, like within those first few weeks after quarterfinals where I was just like like I'd get into a workout and when it got to that point where it's like, okay, now is the time where you either dig deep or you like kind of don't get a good score or what a good score or whatever, like I was just kind of like, okay, I just like don't really feel like it. You know, like I would like if it was like, okay, go unbroken here, I'd be like, eh, it kind of hurts. And you drop down and like, but going into the season, like that's the type of training, like you learn how to just like, you get to that point and you're like, there's literally nothing will make me drop down from the bar right now. Mm-hmm. Nothing will make me set down this dumbbell or whatever it is. Like,
yep.
That's like a skill too that needs to be worked on. And I don't know. I think there's.
It's pain tolerance. Just tolerance.
Yeah.
Like what, how hard can you hurt yourself without like having to let go?
Yeah. So fun.
Tristan needs to work on that.
Tristan has none of that.
Tristan needs to work on that. He's got a little bit better lately. Yeah. Is there anything that you can think of in terms of Grace's CrossFit career that you want to touch on before we end this?
No,
I just think one thing that I could say is you just need to stay around good people.
Yeah.
Stay around good people.
Yeah.
That's anybody though. Mm-hmm. You know, stay around people that truly support you and that want the best for you. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Thanks for joining us, dude. Yeah, she's going to train at the jungle gym now, right?
When I'm home, yeah.
Yeah. Now.
Literally right now. Yeah.
Is that what you're going to do? We have our outdoor workout area. We call it the jungle gym. Life-saver. So I think that she's going to go do that. And then we are going to probably hit Edge, right?
Yeah, we have a nasty little thing.
Yeah.
That I'm fun. What scared is it? Of.
It's called the TTT Pacer Test.
Yes. Huh. It's 11 cal. Wait, right? 11 cal echo.
I got 15.
15 wall balls, 15 power snatch, 15 toes to bar, 11 cal echo, rest 90 seconds for 5 rounds.
Oh.
It's not that bad.
It's not, but it's low enough reps that you should be going fast, but then 90 seconds isn't that much time.
You just got to hold on the entire time.
Spicy, yeah, you're going to get to round 4 and be like,
we'll see who wins.
Everyone place your bets.
place your bets in the comments.
I'm terrible at the echo bike.
No, you're not terrible at it. No. You got to work on your
wall balls and power snatch, fine, but echo and toast bar, I don't know.
We'll see. You'll be all right. All right, well, cool. Thanks so much for watching, guys. Hope you did like this. If you did, click that like button. Subscribe if you are new. And send Grace $5 in her PayPal account. We'll link it below.
Yeah, we'll link the Venmo down below. Yeah. Pay for a new pair of grips or something. I love that.
Yeah, there you go. All right, guys. Peace out. Goodbye.
Sweet. That was good.
Perfect. Yeah.
That was easy.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, why is this thing so heavy and uneven?
Because that...
What's going on?
The nice one that Grace has.
Yeah.
That one costs like $60.
Right? So what do two I have? Of those was like $25. I thought you meant like one that I own, and I was like, I own nothing.
No. Thanks, dude.
Yeah, thanks.
It was good. It was easy, nice. There's a bunch of clips in there.
Perfect.
Sure. Which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you
have? Uh-oh.
What do you have for training?